And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program, as you know, every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or of course on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. You could also join us on our Facebook page at GRN South and Central TX. Hit that like button, follow us. You can keep up with everything that's going on. Want to thank everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course, right here in good old San Antonio. We're grateful that you've decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. So as you know, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions, highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. And on the program today, this was a real pleasure for me to do this interview with Archbishop Gustavo. It's a pre-record from last week. And of course, he came on to talk about, of course, the devastating floods in the Texas Hill Country during the July 4th weekend. The recovery efforts are still going on, and it has affected so many families. And you know, I wanted to have Archbishop come on because he was just at Notre Dame on that Sunday. And, it was a heartfelt, devastating, loss for a lot of families. And I asked him to come on the program, and of course, he's very busy, but I did do a pre-record and I want you to listen to that. So we're going to have that on the first segment. Thank you, Archbishop, for coming on the program and doing that and talking to our listeners out there. And on the second part of the show today, I'm going to have Mary Jane Fox, of course, from Pilgrim Center of Hope. And we're going to talk about the Catholic Women's Conference that's coming up very quickly. I believe it's on July the 27th. So we want to talk about that. And Saturday, July 26th. It's going to be the 26th. And we're going to talk all about the Catholic Women's Conference and how you can get your tickets, how you can get involved, what the program's going to look like that day, and all that good stuff. But, I'm looking forward to these conversations. And, of course, the Archbishop coming on to do a pre-record was a very big honor for me. So I'm going to have you listen to that. But before we begin our conversations and my pre-record with Archbishop, let's get today's program the way we should do things at all things, and that's in prayer. And remember to pray for all first responders, all the families out there in the Texas Hill Country that suffered loss. We want to continue praying for them, and also Archbishop and Gustavo, and also Bishop Gary Yannick and Michael Boulet, and all of our pre-seminarians, deacons, nuns. Want to keep them in our prayers. And so let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before I begin that pre-recorded interview, I want to bring up a couple of things that are coming up. The Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem invites you to a special holy hour. That is today, Monday, July 14th, here today. Starts at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. They're going to venerate a first-class relic, tour of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower, and also they're going to have the opportunity to purchase Carmelite items. And then from 7 to 8 p.m., they're going to have a holy hour. All this is taking place at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower. They were just on the program last week, David and Janet Pollock from Pilgrim Center of Hope, and had a great, great conversation with them. So don't want to miss out on that. Again, that is today, Monday, July 14th. And then a couple of other events that I want to bring you up to speed on. Axe Missions is celebrating their 38th birthday, and they are having a celebration and open house Wednesday, July 23rd, from 3 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's going to be held at their office at 7711 Madonna Suite 200. Now, you can RSVP by emailing Diana at dmartinez@axemissions.org. They're going to have light refreshments and hors d'oeuvres, light hors d'oeuvres. And next, Axe Missions is also having a Christmas in July event, July 27th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Grand Event Center, located at 6709 Northwest Loop 410. You don't want to miss that. You can take a picture with Santa and buy some Christmas wares here in July. So it is Christmas in July. Want to help our Axe Mission sisters over there with their events. And lastly, the big Fullness of Truth San Antonio, that's coming up. I just had Ken Zammit and Matthew Leonard on the program last week. The theme is For Heaven's Sake, and it's August 15th through the 17th. And you do want to go into fullnessoftruth.org, click on the San Antonio Conference, and buy your tickets. Buy your tickets for the weekend. It's going to be incredible. So with that said, I want to go ahead and turn to the board here and click on this interview. I hope you know, a bunch of you out there are going to enjoy the interview. And thank you, Archbishop, for coming on. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and get to that interview.
Yes, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Archbishop Gustavo. Welcome to the program, Your Excellency, and thank you for taking time to pray and discuss the tragedies that unfolded this past July 4th weekend in the Texas Hill Country.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be part of it and to contribute what I am and what I have.
And you know, Archbishop, Your Excellency, before we begin, can you lead us in prayer to begin this this segment?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we are in your loving hands, and everyone that you have created finds a place in your hands and in your heart. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who through his passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven, has granted us salvation and the awareness that you are our Father, that he is our Savior. And with the gift of the Holy Spirit, your promise through Jesus, for us to find ways to live our Christian life daily and embracing whatever life brings about. We entrust to you this dialogue, and may you serve your people, glorifying your name. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Your Excellency. And Archbishop, thank you so much for joining us on the phone. This has been a tragic weekend. And, you know, as of today, 100-plus beautiful lives have been lost and 20-plus are unaccounted for. And, you know, I know you were just at Notre Dame Catholic Church with Father Scott Yanisek, and it was a visit that was pre-planned, and talk about God putting someone in the right place at the right time. Tell us a little bit about that visit.
Well, that visit was to visit with the parishioners and people who attended the parish last Sunday. I arrived before the previous mass that I was going to preside, when people were leaving, and I was able to meet many of them and to be just with them and in some kind of presence. Then between the two masses was baptisms of five little kids, children. And the deacon who was presiding the baptisms, he lost two members of her family in last weekend.
Oh, goodness.
And so I was waiting there to give us some consolation on behalf of the body of Christ. And then I visited with the families of the little kids. But the people who were already in church for the next mass, they witnessed the baptism. And that is important for something that I will share with you later. But So I went with the families, and one of the families, they asked me for prayers because another whole family of four children, the youngest 2 years old, and the parents, the whole family was missing.
Oh, goodness.
And so prayers there. And then in the mass, there were people who lost members of family and also other people who expressed that their beloved ones were missing. And it could be not only family members, but neighbors, friends. Because most of the people who the Lord has called to himself, now because of the numbers, many of them, they were local.
Right.
So the situation in that sense is kind of making more difficult the environment there. Because one thing was to be attending people, young people from the camp, particularly one, there are like 20 camps in that area.
Right.
But this particular camp, Mystic.
Camp Mystic.
Camp Mystic, that one, most of the people, they were not local. They were from different areas in the state and even in other states, from other states.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when the numbers start increasing, the number of people who were told that passed away, that they died, it creates a different kind of a environment and mm-hmm. feelings and thoughts, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But anyway, then we continue with the mass, and I was there in Kerrville on Friday too, the day of the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
I was there at the school where was the reunification of families.
Mm-hmm.
After those rescued, they were checked in another campus, about 10 minutes from the school or so. They were checked first, and then they were sent to the school where we were, and then they were released in Ames. And there were many people in that school, many, many people.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of young parents, which it was understood because the young people in that camp or in other camps. But people, they were quiet. It's hard to say something in an environment like that and the circumstances, but they were very respectful, very orderly, listening to directions and following them. I mean, it was, in that sense, you saw some kind of stability in the room, but people quiet, few people talking, but it's hard. And I went with another to clergy, and we were also very quiet with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for your visit, for being here." And some they would say, "Oh, Archbishop, hi, we are from Elizabeth and Seton Parish. We are from Holy Spirit." They were mainly grandparents, or parents too, but mainly grandparents, because many people who were in the camps, the parents, they dropped them off, and they went for vacation. You know, there were some that were in Europe.
Yes,
I remember some. They said that they were in Ireland, others they were in England, and so they were trying to come the sooner the better. But on Friday, there were the grandparents, or there were uncles and aunts and other people. Even neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person told me, he said, I'm here for my niece, but I have some friends from Houston, and they are there driving, but the driving is the traffic is horrible. And so I said, I will take care of your two children.
Yes.
And so people, they were so, in that sense, I value those expressions or gestures of care. But no, they could not express feelings at all.
Yeah.
And I understand maybe, you know, you don't want to break down. You don't want to cause a commotion or something. Even when later on Friday, they began to release names,
mm-hmm.
two, and then silence like for 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then another one, and then silence, three, like that. Those who were there for one of those children that they were named, they were not exuberant when they heard it.
Right.
And maybe for respect to others, but also because it's very difficult when you're in a state of shock.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's good news, you don't know. You don't know how to react.
Right.
Verbally. But I accompanied a couple of them outside the building where they were receiving the, meeting with their beloved ones. And again, they were not expressing verbally feelings, but they were caressing one another, embracing one another, kissing each other. I mean, beautiful. But that taught me that we need always to respect people where they are at, not where we want them to be.
Right.
Where they are at. And what they can, not what they cannot. And the same thing was for me, you know. I saw vulnerability across the room and outside, because it was a couple, maybe the wife was inside and the husband was outside waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be in both places, you know, to be sure that when they saw their beloved one, somebody was there physically.
Yeah.
So I saw vulnerability, but then vulnerability was increasing in me too.
Sure.
It's a very vulnerable place to be, not just physically, but in yourself, in your, you know. Well, that, and there was food in the middle of the room. Nobody was touching the food.
Yeah.
There were drinks too. I mean, water, normal drinks, water, and people that were, you know, consuming the water, but not the food. And all those is to enter kind of in a moment, in a different world, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a different world. And then I went to the parish on Friday. And the Catholic Charities was there unloading food.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, all that. And so, and I met, as a matter of fact, that was before I went to the school. So at the parish, that is considered one of the four church shelters or places. I met a couple there. But they didn't tell me, and they were helping to unload and helping to accommodate the food and all the articles and items that were needed for this occasion. And later on, at the school, I met them again.
Oh, wow.
I told them, are you missing someone? They said, no, we already knew when we saw you this morning that as someone that works for them was killed because of the flooding. And so they said, if you saw us there or here, we are here to help. That's our commitment. I mean, those are powerful expressions of witnessing, you know.
Yeah.
And then while the mass was mm-hmm. beautiful, people participated very, with a lot of, energy and even a spiritual enthusiasm. And I saw another face of the picture, another side of the picture, that after what I witnessed in my previous encounters in the church, it was like they were releasing some of the pressure because of the singing, and they were singing, as I said, with energy, with courage, with loud voices. I mean, I was taken aback, you know?
Wow, yeah.
And then, as you said, it was already planned, the installation of the pastor. And I asked him, you want, we can omit it and I come back for that another time. I talked to him before before Sunday, of course. He said, no, that's fine. He was very lucky. Well, he is very lucky.
Yeah.
But it was powerful for the people to know that God, in the stormy waters, God is providing a pastor for them. And the laity and parish council and finance council leaders, lay leaders, who are going to help the parish. And now they have the task to help the parish to go through this process that will take years,
right.
Years. So, and they agreed, and they were pleased to do it, and I thank them. And it was, the mass was beautiful. Oh, and I use in the homily the situation of the baptisms, because everybody witnessed the baptisms before the mass.
Right.
And the scripture spoke about water in the first reading, and in the reading of the psalm, and also in some way in the second reading too. And so we said, well, water is the symbol of life, freshness, newness, but also is a sign of danger, the symbol of danger, death. And it's what we saw in the baptism. And this is what we are living through, you know. Whatever we see around us is beautiful because of the rain. We have been praying for rain in the midst of drought. But at the same time, death accompanies us. Fear, uncertainty, and feelings like anger, disappointment, confusion. The Lord is with us and will never abandon us, you know.
And Archbishop, you know, it's like everyone else, you know, I was glued to my television all weekend and praying, and it was through prayer that, you know, we were able, my wife and I, to get through this because it affected everybody. But
right.
There is so much content out there. This has reached a global reach, and even Pope Leo has sent a message out there praying for us. And, you know, one story that really stuck out was of two sisters named Blair and Brooke Harbor who were found with rosaries in their hands and their hands locked together.
Right.
And what that told me is our Blessed Mother was there interceding.
That's right. You know, at the beginning of the Mass, what I was in my mind was when the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph were returning from Jerusalem, going home, and they found out that Jesus, after 3 days, was not with them. So all what went through them, uncertainty, where is he? What happened to him? Why we didn't know? Why we didn't see? What we didn't see? What we didn't notice? Why after 3 days? What kind of parents we are? I mean, all this situation, the scenarios. Well, let's go back to Jerusalem and see if we find him. And they found him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the passage of the Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross, when it's her son, but he's dying. So, the Blessed Mother has been walking with us and walking with them, and Catholic and non-Catholic or unbelievers, doesn't matter. All are children of God, and God loves them, and the Blessed Mother is their mother. And so, walking with the Blessed Mother, we deal with loss. We deal, meaning like, we don't see Jesus, and let's go back to Jerusalem and try to search for him. But also, at the time of death, that is a different, very different experience, but Mary was there, you know?
Yes.
And Jesus entrusted his life to the Father. Oh, into the struggle. Why do you have forsaken me? But I trust. And God was there for Jesus. His Father was there. And his mother was there, you know?
Yes.
And some of the disciples and women and men. So.
Well, you know, for many, yeah. Archbishop, you know, the loss of life is tragic in and of itself, but it's hard That's to true. Take, especially when children are involved. And, you know, I know you went through this in a big way over in Uvalde at Sacred Heart, and now this happens again. You know, how do we move forward?
Well, you know, the experts in different areas of life will lead us in their expertise. As people of faith, we don't figure out the forward. We become to a place in which, in the process, not now, but in the process, now there is no forward. That doesn't mean that people don't want to move forward. I'm sure that many of them want to say, I want to move forward, but it's not what we want or we plan it or... In due time, you know, will be instruments, but it will be God who will move forward. About safety and about other things, the experts, they have to answer questions and figure out how we can be better. Well, is there expertise? And there are many ways, you know, like the ones who were in the boats, the ones who were on the helicopters, and mm-hmm. the ones who were exploring through the land. The police, the people in charge of those little towns or the city of Kerbal, all the cities where the people were from, they will figure out. But for us, as leaders in faith, is to know that people move forward always by the grace of God. And the grace of God will be given for people to say, yes, I want that. I want to take the next step.
Right.
But that is long ways. I met today, before you call, mm-hmm. I met two families at the Mexican consulate with the Mexican General Consul of Mexico. Uh-huh. I didn't know they were going to be there. I went to visit the consulate for other reasons. But these two families arrived there when I was there. It was one young man from one family and one young man and one young lady, the other family. And the three of them had been in camps, not in Camp Mystic, but in other camps. Mm-hmm. And they were not released until this morning.
Wow.
And they said how they, the both families, they were not together when I met them earlier today. Mm-hmm. But both they were saying that they were in charge of a little unit. They have like 6 to 8 people per unit. Mm-hmm. And when the water was above their knees, they helped each one of them, because they were the adults, helping each one of them to go to the roof.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they were rescued, mm-hmm. but they didn't allow them to get out of the camp, because those camps, they were north of Mystic, Camp Mystic. Mm-hmm. And so They want to deal well with the people in crisis and deal with the communistic. Anyway, but there were counselors, two of them, and the other one was hired as a photographer. And they were from Mexico. But their passports get bad. They were damaged. And so they were not able to process flight tickets to going back to Mexico.
There should be an exception for that, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah. So the consul helped them.
Yes.
And was going to get, at least by late afternoon, their passports. But, well, with this, to share with you, Gloria, that, that there are many people that have not been considered in prayers and in the larger picture. There are many people who were local, meaning that their little structure were there.
Yeah.
They were there because they lived there. And many of them, they were poor, serving in the camps.
Yeah.
Like the family that I mentioned, that the six of them haven't been found. They're poor people serving those places.
Yes.
Was their job. And people, they don't consider them. Their names, they don't, they are not in the news, you know. And we need to include them.
Right.
If we are helping what happened, we need to help everyone in what happened. Everyone. And to be willing to pray for everyone and to serve everyone.
Yes.
So that is another piece that I have been learning, you know, because the story has been developing since I went on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But well, now these people, you know, and the consulate was waiting to help the traveling of 24 who were in camps. And I talked to them, and they told me, you know, where they were from and different cities and states in Mexico. But sometimes we forget about the least, the poor.
That's right. Let's not forget about anyone. And, you know, we pray for all. And Archbishop, thank you so much. And I know this is going to mean so much to our listeners in Kerrville and Marble Falls and Fredericksburg, Uvalde, and San Antonio. Your voice cascading out is much appreciated. And it's through healing and prayer that we're going to get through this. So I just want to thank you for taking time out to.
You're welcome, Marie.
But again, thank you, Archbishop Gustavo. If you want to lead us out in a quick prayer, we'll do that.
Okay. May the Holy Spirit, source of all purity of heart, communicate it to you through this cross. May the Holy Spirit keep our body and soul pure so that we can find God in the midst of darkness and tragedy and pain and sorrow. May others find God through us. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Archbishop. The Guadalupe Radio Network and all of its listeners are praying for all those affected by the Hill Country floods. We ask God Almighty to intercede and provide comfort, peace, and healing to all the families who have suffered the loss of a family member or friend. We also pray for the safety of all first responders and rescuers, that God may guide and protect them. May God bless Kerr County, Kerrville, Hunt, Llano, and Georgetown.
Arm yourself for the daily spiritual battle. Visit St. Michael's Armory for beautiful sacramentals, recast antique medals and religious jewelry, and our exclusive sterling silver and wool brown scapulars. Pick up these means to strengthen your soul and arm yourself well for the battle of life. StMichaelsArmory.com. That's StMichaelsArmory.com. Spiritual armor for the battle of life.
How do I get to heaven? It's the question of a lifetime. And this August, Fullness of Truth invites you to find the answers at their 19th annual Catholic Family Summer Conference, For Heaven's Sake, Staying on the Path with the Science of Sainthood. Join Bishop Gary Yonick, Dr. Brent Petrie, Matthew Leonard, and more, August 15th through the 17th at the Hyatt Hill Country Resort in San Antonio. Family fun, youth programs, sacred music, and powerful talks to ignite your faith. Register now at fullnessoftruth.org/SA25.
And we are back. Thank you so much, Archbishop Gustavo, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to pray, to talk about, and to lead us as our leader of the Archdiocese. And I love what he said. People move forward by the grace of God when talking about, you know, I asked him the question, how do we move forward? And, you know, we're going to move forward by the grace of God, but, you know, we need to continue to pray each and every day for all the families, all the victims, all the people that, you know, were affected by this flood, this, torrential flood. I mean, it was just incredible, the amount of casualties. And, we do need to continue praying. And I ask all of our listeners to include everyone out there in their prayers. We truly appreciate that. But again, Archbishop Gustavo, thank you so much for taking time out. And so want to just remind everyone that tonight is the from the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. It's the holy hour for the church in the Holy Land and prayer for persecuted Christians. It's going to be tonight starting at 6. It'll end at 8. And it's going to include a veneration of first class relics as well as a holy hour. It's going to be at our Basilica of the National Shrine of the Little Flower off of 1715 North Zorzamora Street. And I had David and Janet Pollock last week, and they talked about, you know, this event. So we want to make sure we get a lot of people out there. And, you know, it's also brought to you by Pilgrim Center of Hope, which is my next guest, Mary Jane Fox. Mary Jane, how are you doing today? Thank you for coming in.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me. It's good to be here. And it was good to hear Archbishop Gustavo. We love Bishop Archbishop Gustavo and his words of encouragement and hope. And speaking of hope, you know, this year of hope, we need to grab onto that anchor of hope, right?
Right.
And even though there's so many opportunities to grow in our faith, we never forget our brothers and sisters who don't have those opportunities. Like you mentioned, that holy hour that we're going to have right. tonight at the National Basilica of Little Flower in our own city here in San Antonio. We have this national shrine, you know,
dedicated. Beautiful, too.
It is. dedicated to St. Therese.
Yes.
And so that holy hour, it's annual. It's an annual event sponsored by the Knights and Dames of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, also known as the Equestrian Order. And this is a crusader movement that was founded back on the crusader period to really maintain the Holy Land and to pray for the church, but to bring awareness that there are Christians right. living in the Holy Land that need our prayer, especially now. But speaking of hope, we have so many, we have another opportunity this month to bring hope into people's lives, a spa for the soul.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and so before we begin our conversation, I want to, you know, let our listeners know a little bit about Pilgrim Center of Hope, how you and Deacon Tom started Pilgrim Center of Hope. And then we'll get into the Catholic Women's Conference, but y'all do so much for the community.
Right.
And I want people to know about you and possibly go out and visit you and your staff out there at Pilgrim Center of Hope.
Thank you, Gordy. Yes, I do welcome people to visit us. Pilgrim Center of Hope was founded in 1993. My husband, Deacon Tom, and I have been with Pilgrim Center of Hope since the founding, and we are missionaries of hope. Our mission is to provide opportunities for people to encounter Jesus Christ, and his mercy through events, whether it be in-person events or social media, conferences, and pilgrimages. We're located in Northwest San Antonio in a building that used to be a convent. So the building is quite unique in that it offers today not only an evangelization center with the chapel with the Blessed Sacrament, two foxes live on a property, Tom and I. So we're the only ones that live there. And we have a wonderful staff that really do wonderful things to make the mission available to people, not only organizing events, but providing social media events, and also planning conferences that, especially the Catholic Women's Conference, Men's Conference, and in the future we will have a Marian Conference next year. This is the first time I'm announcing it. I dare to announce it now. We've been praying about it, but it's coming, and it's going to be in 2026. So, yes, Pilgrim Center of Hope, we're in Northwest San Antonio. We invite you to visit us. We have so much to offer, a permanent shroud exhibition, museum-quality exhibition. One could see a replica of the Holy Shroud of Turin, an ancient cloth that has the image of a man crucified and tortured. Many believe it's a burial cloth of Jesus Christ. It's called Who is the Man of the Shroud exhibition. We do have a reliquary with first, second, third class relics of saints, some of my favorites, John Paul II. We have a second class relic of his. And we also have, of course, the chapel with the Blessed Sacrament and many resources. You know, people come and buy and they want resources for their relatives who maybe want more information about the Catholicism, or how do I give something to my fallen away Catholic member without, you know, sound like I'm preaching. We have those resources. And so we welcome people to visit our website, pilgrimcenterofhope.org, see the opportunities. And we are a pilgrimage destination. Archbishop Gustavo and many of the other bishops have been there offering Mass, not only for our mission and for our staff, but the many people who are behind the scenes, our benefactors, our donors, our volunteers. They're called missionaries of hope as well, because they make this mission of evangelization possible. Now, in 33 years, we've been in existence, living on God's providence. We are a nonprofit, blessed by the Archdiocese, but autonomous from the Archdiocese, meaning that we're not financially supported by the Archdiocese, but certainly, certainly supported, encouraged by the bishops, including receiving the Pope, the blessing of John Paul II and Benedict XVI recently, or during their papacy.
Right.
So here we are at Pilgrim Center of Hope. We are here for you, and we are offering a Catholic Women's Conference coming up in a couple of weeks, Saturday, July 26th. It's called A Spa for the Soul.
I like that.
You know, it's a good term because, you know, we say Catholic Women's Conference, people think, well, it's a conference. We're just going to have speakers. Yes, we will have speakers that are nationally known, but, and we'll have one of the bishops of the Archdiocese. Specifically this year, we will have Bishop Gary Yannick with us offering Mass and giving us words of encouragement. But it's a day for women. You know, we women give so much.
Right.
We pray. We're there for our family members. We're, some of us are carrying a full-time career. We're balancing our family. We're having to come home and cook dinner and set the menu plan for the week. And
that's on right.
You know, we have a litany of things. We can go, I can go on listing as to what we do on a daily basis as women, because that's who we are as women. That is how God created us to be that, you know, a person of in God's image, where we give hope and maternal love in many ways. So the conference, the Catholic Women's Conference, is an opportunity for women to just, you know, put things aside and go away. Like Jesus went away and with his apostles are alone to pray. And
in the upper room, yeah.
Well, and be refreshed, that we could say, spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is your time, sisters in Christ, to be renewed in Christ. To be, well, some would say, well, I've already been on retreats, or I'm on a Bible study, and fine. But this is a time for you to receive, to come, attend. You receive resources, a conference, a gift bag with resources and items that will help you to grow spiritually, but also an opportunity to listen, to rejoice by listening to some inspirational music, receiving the sacrament of reconciliation. We'll have priests offering that beautiful sacrament of healing, which many of us may have been so busy we've not had an opportunity to go to confession. And, of course, Mass with Bishop Gary, but also a holy hour with Jesus himself. Jesus is going to be there as he is
through adoration,
in our hearts,
but
through adoration specifically, mm-hmm. par excellence. He's going to be with us, and he wants to heal. You know, this is their 25th year of our the Catholic Women's
Your
Conference.
Your Jubilee celebration,
well,
just
really
like
is.
GRN. Yeah.
Well, we can celebrate life, and as you know, things are happening in the world all over us. We tend to be overwhelmed, but God in His church tells us we're here. The church is here to stand with you, walk with you. And this is an opportunity the church has given you through this spa for the soul. And it is available Saturday, July 25th at Norris Conference Center. It's going to be at a place where we have plenty of space for seating.
And it's beautiful there.
It really is. It's spacious. Yep. Lots of parking. We'll have a space for vendors and ladies. You know, we all have that opportunity to do our shopping for Christmas, early Christmas shopping, or those birthday gifts, or you know, best friend gifts that we want to put aside. And but these are vendors that are offering good quality religious items that are really enlightening for us ladies to receive on any given time or day. But also the fact that we have a lot of ladies that are volunteer to serve you.
Right.
So there will be ladies that will be serving. We have lunch included. So right now, we're almost sold out.
See, that's wonderful. I just talked to Jason about that. Y'all are almost sold out, but there's still a little bit of room, right?
Yes, we have. You mentioned Jason. Jason Yunus is one of our media coordinators at Pilgrim Center of Hope. He and Angela Cialana, we call them our media department at Pilgrim Center of Hope. They do amazing work with media.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was, this morning, I just got final word after many groups have registered their groups from parishes or, you know, ladies groups, we're at about almost 600-700. So we have space for about 50.
Okay.
It's not too late, ladies. You can still register in-person, on-site registration. Actually, sorry, in-person registration. If you want to attend in-person, register by this Thursday, July 17th, by going to cwcsanantonio.com, cwcsanantonio.com, or call us at Pilgrim Center of Hope. Now, the registration is $85, which includes, like I said, a lot, the whole day, the whole experience, the lunch and the provided by Norris Conference Center and served by their employees, plus the conference gift bag and the entire spa for the soul. The now, there is a virtual registration available for those who are maybe they're in a medical field and they have to work Saturday, or maybe they're caring for a loved one at home and they just can't get away. Well, we want to give you that opportunity to be amongst us, with us, virtually. And that is available for you as well by going to that same website, cwcsanantonio.com.
I love that aspect of it.
I really do. You know, there's women who long to have this. And, but we understand, right? As sisters in Christ, we know we want to be there for you. And so this virtual registration is going to be available for those who register virtually. If there is a cost for that, it's $65. You will get a few items mailed to you that are from the gift bag. We want to still include you in those specific items that are what we call spiritual tools. But this also, the recording for the virtual registration will be available for you for 10 days, including the conference day. So, for example, if you're working and that day and you're just catching just 1 hour of it virtually, well, be assured that you have that registration for 10 days. And that is for those who are registering virtually for the Catholic Women's Conference. For those of us who are in person, you know, Bishop Gary told me, in our staff a while back, he said, you know, there's nothing like in-person events. You know, going to that in-person when you're, imagine being in the midst of 700 plus women. We're jumping up and down with joy. Some of us are crying because we're just overwhelmed.
That's right.
Or we need healing, right?
Yeah.
But that's okay because we are, you know, we can do that. We, you know, we women, we can cry in front of anyone, just about, because that's who we are. We express our emotions. But for some who maybe have not had that opportunity, we're so busy, it's a time for you to be open, to receive healing, allow Jesus, who is going to be present, who knows you will be attending, allow him to heal you in this Jubilee year, this year of hope. consider it a little pilgrimage. You know, this Norwich Conference Center is in Northwest San Antonio. For those who are traveling from other places in the Archdiocese, we do have women attending from outside the Archdiocese as well. They're making it a little pilgrimage. You know, we're called to be pilgrims of hope. It doesn't end during this year of hope. The church calls us pilgrims because we are a pilgrim people. Our journey is our pilgrimage, and our destination is, of course, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to work out every day, is our salvation. We want to help you work out your salvation by giving you that opportunity to be healed and receive inspiration. Now, the speakers that will be attending the Catholic Women's Conference and will be joining us from outside San Antonio, Karen May is an author and spiritual director. She will be speaking about, you know, Jesus, I don't trust in you, but finding strength through honest prayer. You know, we often say, Jesus, yeah, I trust in you, but do I really trust him? I mean, how come I don't feel like I'm trusting him?
That's going to be a powerful talk.
It's going to be powerful, Gordy, because so often we say, you know, we as Catholics have so many prayers that help us every day, but at the end of the day, we think, why am I feeling the way I do? Well, you know, she's going to address that specifically.
Yeah.
You know, this is what it is about. That's why it's a Catholic Women's Conference. You know, we look at the woman's heart. We look at our whole being, our intellect, our heart, our emotions, and we try to tie it all in together. By the end of that day, you're going to go home thinking, yes, my vocation of woman has been reaffirmed, and I'm able to walk out of here with great hope, faith, and renewed, renewed strength in continuing my vocation.
You know, and that I mean, I'm one of maybe a handful of men that get to attend, and this is going to be my third annual. But I can testify that these conferences, whether it's a women's or men's, they're so impactful. I mean, it is just a cleansing of the soul. And when I go to your conferences and I see and I hear and I witness the speakers, it is just inspiring. So if you're out there and, you know, this is the women's conference, so this is a chance for you to bring your friends, your girlfriends, your fellow parishioners, because I see so many groups attending these conferences, Mary Jane, and it's inspiring.
Yes, it is inspiring.
But I wanted to bring this up. You're also going to be speaking about, you know, the with Nan Balfour about the Shroud. Tell us about that. That's going to be incredible.
Yes. Nan Balfour, one of our colleagues at Pilgrim Center of Hope, she's a Shroud ambassador. We do have persons who volunteer to be Shroud ambassadors and guide people through our exhibition. Nan Balfour is one of those, and she also gives presentations on the Shroud as well as I do at parishes and at other organizations and even at Catholic campuses at secular colleges. But anyways, she and I will be speaking on a journey with the Shroud of Turin, specifically on the Shroud of Turin. The reason why are we bringing in this topic? Our patron saint, let me just back up a little bit. The patron saint of the Catholic Women's Conference is St. Thérèse of Lisieux, also known as the Little Flower, the Carmelite young nun many of us know and love. And she had a great devotion to the Shroud of Turin, specifically the Holy Face that is from that shroud. The man of the shroud shows the image of him as he was with the wounds of being tortured and crucified. And she had this devotion to the Passion of Christ, and she believed in the Shroud of Turin being a very beautiful relic, Christian relic, for us to venerate. Well, her religious name is St. Thérèse of the Holy Face of Jesus. And so for that reason, we thought, well, let's connect all of this.
Sure.
You know, God wants us to connect dots in our daily life, right? He provides those dots, and the Holy Spirit helps us connect them, and that's what we call providence. That's what we call God planning our day when we offer our day to him. And so this is why this specific topic will be included. So we have, Karen May with a spiritual director giving a spiritual direction. We'll have that Shroud of Turin presentation. But we also have Father Jeremiah, who is coming to us from New Mexico. He is a Franciscan friar of the renewal. A young Franciscan friar who will be speaking to us about Mary's role in our lives, including and our hope in our Eucharistic Lord Jesus. So he really will lead us to encounter Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and to embrace him. And he will be leading us, teaching us, and guiding us. He has written a couple of books. He will have those books available for you at the conference. In fact, one of those books, the first book he wrote on Mary, is like a retreat. You can't put it down. It's one of those that you just highlight most of the book because you want to remember and capture those major quotes of his that give us the inspiration to embrace Mary. And so when I put that book down, I said, we need to invite Father Jeremiah to the women's conference. And yes, he graciously said yes. So we'll have Bishop Gary, Karen May, spiritual director, Father Jeremiah, Franciscan Friar of the Renewal, the retreat master. We have presentations on the Shroud. And of course, this is going to be a day that I'm looking forward to it. And I know many women, 700 plus women would be looking forward to it.
That is an incredible amount. And I know last year, you know, it was at the North Conference Center as well. And I was there, and that your bookstore where all the vendors are at was incredible. And I know my wife, you know, she showed up. Kimberly was there helping me at the table. And they came back. They both went to your bookstore where the vendors are at. And they bought so much stuff. It was incredible. And then they got it blessed.
Yes, right. We'll have items blessed by Father Jeremiah at the end of the day for those who purchase religious items. So, you know, you're saying, Gordy, you were one of the men amongst the conference.
Yeah.
Others were there, and they said, this is a must for everyone, especially the women.
That's right. Now, CWCSanAntonio.com is where you want to go for the 25th Annual Catholic Women's Conference. Mary Jane, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jordy. It's good to be here. God bless you and GRN.
Yes, God bless everyone out there. We'll see you soon.
Boldly proclaiming the truths of our Catholic faith. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Is your marriage struggling? No matter how bad things seem, no marriage is hopeless. RetroVi changes lives. RetroVi is a highly successful Christian peer ministry that helps couples heal and renew their marriages. The next program in San Antonio begins on September 12th. For more information or to register, visit helpourmarriage.org or call 210-919-4516.
I've never heard y'all before. There is this lady with her big white SUV, and on the back of the windshield is this big cross with y'all's radio station underneath. Put it on y'all's radio station anyhow, and then it starts talking about the saints and how the saints give you signs and they lead you into the right direction. I just appreciate you and God for putting that sign in my life and letting me know that it is him and it's okay.
The Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
Hey, Keith Downey here, host of Morning Joy, where truth matters. Doug Keck is going to join us on the next show. He recently announced that he is retiring as the president and chief operating officer of EWTN. And with his wealth of experience in Catholic media, we invited him to tell the whole story and his dreams for the future of Catholic media. Listen to Morning Joy live starting at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern, and subscribe to Morning Joy wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're fortunate, you will witness a number of Christ-like people in your lifetime. Sometimes you'll see these heroes at a distance. Often, you'll experience Jesus in someone close. And in this world filled with sorrow, what will all these Christian heroes tell you? There's a place in every heart that only Jesus can fill.
Clark Cardis, colon and rectal surgeon and fellow in the American College of Surgeons, is proud to be a sponsor of the Great Catholic Programming on KJMA. He's a member of Catholic Charities Medical Advisory Board and Catholic Physicians Guild of San Antonio and provides care for colon cancer, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and those embarrassing lumps, bumps, aches, and pains. For more information on his offices in the Medical Center, Westover Hills, or Stone Oak, please call 210-614-0880.
This is KJMA 89.7 FM. Floresville, San Antonio, also streaming the truth to the world at grnonline.com. It's food for the immortal soul, all day and all night.